Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
I already prayed, but I'll tell you what. I want to pray specifically for some people that need joy tonight. All right? Yes. Now, you don't have to raise your hand. But, you know, there's a couple of you that your neighbor may raise your hand because they look at you and go, sister girl, need joy. All right? Father God, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, we need the joy of Jesus. We need happy joy. We need a spirit of joy. We need enjoy. We need to enjoy life. We need to enjoy each other. We need to enjoy the presence of the Savior in church tonight. Jesus, pour out your happiness. Pour out your blessing. Pour out smiles. And pour out joy in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 All right. I will try not to do that more than six more times. So, if you have your Bible, we are going to turn to Nehemiah. But 2 weeks ago, I was doing a little stalking around the campus of VBF. And we want to show you some of the pictures. I met some of the most amazing workers. Well, except for Dino. And I can say that because he's out in children's ministry right now. So that guy Dino, man, he bugs me. I'm telling you. I said, get out of the picture, Dino. And he put, no, I'm totally kidding. I just had coffee with Dino. I love that guy. So that's behind the scenes. And it was evidently a plaid shirt day. I guess Darren didn't get the memo on that. Next time we got you, bro. There we go. This lady, man, I think she was a little apprehensive to get in the picture. She was just dropping her kid off. And I'm like, I'm getting a selfie, man. Get in there. And so there we go. Some more people. And notice the crazy bald guy in there. Look at these guys. Look at these guys. All right. Keep on going here. Oh, there we are. There we are. People say, oh, look at this. Isn't that great? Look at this little cutie right here. He got the plaid memo shirt. Plaid shirt memo. All right. And then look outside where it's happening right there. Man, it's good. Then over in Extreme, and he didn't know that the Dodgers would be out by now. I'm sorry, it hurts me too, man. It hurts. There's always good food out in the courtyard. How many of you guys got a taco? Anybody get a taco tonight? Taco in Hebrew, the word is manna, just to let you know, okay? What else? We got any more? Look at Linda. I'm being tough, and she's like, look at that. What? Look at that. Okay. I don't have to comment on every picture. This is the one right here, the money shot. And see all the kids and then the guy that has a face for radio. And look at this stop right here. This is for our amazing volunteers. Let's give our teachers, our ushers, our greeters, our people out there, our VIP, the hub. All you guys are rock stars to me. This church would not have anything without you guys. I'm telling you, you are the ones that people see. You know what makes me so excited? I didn't get a picture of him, but Max, are you in here, bro? Where's Max? I don't know if he's here. You guys know what I'm talking about? Max? That dude makes it happen, man. He is out there. Last time I was here on a Sunday, he's out there with a hand-painted sign that says, we prayed for you when you guys drive. Anybody ever seen Max in the signs? Tonight, he had one that said, be blessed, and because it was dark, he had a flashlight, and he was holding his flashlight. I'm like, that guy, I want to be like that guy when I grow up. He's 20. And I had to, like, you know, get some, you know, like, make me look good in there. And so, back of the welcome booth. This is the kids area. And if you don't know where the kids area is, you can follow your nose. And baby powder. I was stalking some people out there in the courtyard. They were eating. I think I got a bite. All right. Oh, okay. All right. Anyways, we got more. Ah, there we go. We got more and more. Hey, there's the taco right there. That's the Mexican manna. And then this is a black cat eating coal at midnight. No, I won't do it anymore. Okay. Before some of you guys leave and go, what is this? It's not the improv. Definitely not the improv. We're supposed to have church up in here. And so we're going to have church. Listen, we already prayed in joy, all right? So if you're getting mad at me having a little fun, refer to the first prayer that we did, okay? That's all I'm saying. All right. Pastor Ron used to say, man, somebody in here got baptized in pickle juice. That's funny. That's good. All right. If you have your Bible, we're going to go to Nehemiah chapter 8. We were supposed to do Nehemiah 7 2 weeks ago, but we ended up talking about Jesus and Peter walking on the water, and it was just a God thing. So I'm going to give you chapter 7 in review. Chapter 7, they completed the wall, right? Nehemiah has been 6 chapters planning, praying to build a wall for protection and safety. And in chapter 7, they did. The wall was finished. His enemies were bummed. And then he appointed 2 guys, Hananiah and Hananiah. They were given charge over Jerusalem because of their character. So because they feared the Lord, they were given charge in the government to help keep things safe and to help keep things running. Man, that's a word. I'm telling you, this is a summary version, and you're getting a little bit of what was supposed to be last 2 weeks ago. But I'm going to tell you this. Your character will get you places. You need to cultivate your character. Your gifts could definitely get you in the door of where your character needs to keep you. Do you hear what I'm saying? Some of you guys may have a gift, and you can sing. Or some of you may have a gift and you just got the gift of administration. Or, you know, you work with kids and you're just good at it. Whatever your gift is, right? Your gift will open the door, but your character will keep you there. All right? And I'm talking church. I'm talking responsibility. I'm talking life. I'm talking about even employment. Your gifts will get you in the door, but your character needs to keep you there. So let's just move right on to chapter 8. Here we go. Verses 1 through 3, and we can read them together on our digital devices. And all the people gathered as one man. Now, ladies, I know we live in a very sensitive time here that some of you ladies are going, why does it say man? Just because it was a patriarchal society, we could say every person. It does not matter. The point here is that every person was like one. They were all in unison. Say unity. They were united together, and they were asking for some cool stuff. All the people gathered as one person at the square, which was in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra the scribe. Now, here's the deal. Ezra was the guy that wrote the book right before this one, all right? So there was Ezra and Nehemiah. We'll talk about him in a little bit. Nehemiah was not a priest. He was a civic leader. He was a cupbearer for the king. He was just a normal cat. But Ezra was a priest or a scribe. And so he was from the religious order. So just anyways, that is the Ezra that wrote his own book. Verse 2, then Ezra the priest brought the law. I need to back up because I skipped a couple words here. Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Verse 2, then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could listen with understanding. Say listen.
Listen.
Say understanding. We're going to talk about that. Listen and understand. They are two entirely different concepts, all right? Especially if you got kids in school. Right, they just got report cards. Anybody? Okay, you hear what I'm saying? Yes. On the first day of the 7th month, that is somewhere in September, October in the Hebrew calendar compared to our Roman calendar. Verse 3, he, meaning Ezra, read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from the morning until midday. Morning until midday. I don't know what morning is. What's morning to you? 8, 9? Who said 11? Really? It's all good. Whatever. It's you know, like, technically it is. And your job, you like get up at 11, you go to the work at 11, you take an hour lunch at noon, and you go home at 1, right? Okay, so. They read from morning until midday. Midday is what midday? 3 o'clock? 4 o'clock? I don't know. Can you imagine being in church from morning until midday? I'm just saying, come Sunday, you never know. The good thing is, I'm not preaching Sunday because we could put a little something into action. I'm just saying. The people asked for the leaders to provide the reading of the scripture. And they stayed there and read scripture, almost like it was the first time they've read it. And they read from morning until midday in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand. And all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Attentive even, on top of all that. So they read. So here's the deal. Has anybody else like got attention span of like this long? Because I do. Right? Right? Okay. That's just to keep some of you guys, not myself, it's to keep you guys engaged again, all right? Whatever. They were paying attention the whole time from morning until midday. A couple things about this passage that we need to know, and we already talked about unity. This was a unified ask. The people were one. They were in one heart. They were in one accord. And the people went to their leaders and said, give us the word of the Lord. Read to us the word of the Lord. Okay? The backdrop, again, is they are safe. They are protected from their enemies. They had their temple built, and now they had the temple and the city protected by the wall. Everything was good, and so the people said, come read the scriptures to us. But I think there's something implied here that the scripture doesn't actually mention out loud, and that is this. For the people to want to get together in a unified front and ask the leaders to give us something from God. The people were saying, read the word of God. Give us a nugget. Give us something. The people were hungry. When the people get hungry, you know God is in charge of this. God is moving. God is in throughout, and God is creating the hunger. Can you have a spiritual hunger on your own? Yes, you can, and I hope some of you guys do. But to have a corporate hunger, desire, that the people go out and say, give us the word. That would be like all of you guys getting together and like sending Pastor Ron an email or knocking on his door going, give us the word, man. Give us the word. That's every pastor's dream, right? Is to have people so moved by the heart of God that they are so hungry that they're in one unison, they're in one accord, and they're going, give us the word, man. Give us something. God's got something. Give it to us. Give it to us, Pastor. Come on, we want it. That's some good stuff, man. That's why I know that God is moving. So God is moving, but then here's the deal. The people respond, all right? Are there cases where God moves and the people don't respond? Yes, I'm a personal witness to that, okay? There's been times that God says, man, I want to do something. I'm like, yeah, me too, but later. God moved. The Holy Spirit was working in and out of the aisles. And he was causing you to get up early tomorrow morning and say, man, I'm gonna hit my Bible, man. And I'm gonna find some new calluses on my knees that ain't never been there because I'm down on my knees praying and seeking God and sucking some carpet, man, and I'm just prostrate on the ground. And then a couple families back here go, man, we're gonna do a Bible study together, man. God is moving. And so God orchestrates all these things. He's like up, you know, the conductor of the orchestra doing this, and God's like, I need some Bible study over here, I need some praying here, you guys are gonna read this book, you're gonna read this, you guys are going for it, you guys are gonna start feeding the homeless, you guys are gonna do all that. And God's orchestrating this stuff, and all the people came together and said, we want some more. So God moves. The people respond. Amen. That's good. Then the leaders respond. And then God moves again, right? It's just this like upward spiral. We have heard of the downward spiral. This is the upward spiral. God is working even before the reading. I have to ask the question. It's kind of a chicken or egg question, and that is, which comes first, the desire or the act? Which comes first? God putting on your heart to do something, or you saying, God, I've got to do something? Is it a rhetorical question? Is it a trick question? I don't know. I submit it to you. And I say this, what are you asking God for? What are you grabbing your homies together? And you're going, man, in one accord, we're going to give an ask to our spiritual leaders. What are we asking? What are you saying? How are you gathering people around you? I don't know. Do you ask first or does the action come first? We'll talk a little bit about feelings a little bit later on. We're going to talk about feelings. Feelings are a great thing, but we can't live our lives for them. And I would say this. We need to do what's right because it's right. And if God moves and when God moves, then that's even better. Right? So we keep doing our thing. We keep reading. We keep praying. We keep interceding for our next door neighbor. We keep, holding out for our family and believing that God's going to do things. Right? And then when God moves, then we go, all right, God, now we got something. All right? That can happen. That usually happens. Or God can just put it on your heart. I need you to do this. That can happen too. Either way, we all win. All right? It doesn't matter. And if God's not talking to you right now, or you just feel like you're in a season of silence, you do something. You act. Because I know this. You can act your way into feeling long before you can feel your way into acting. Hello, somebody? Write that down. Think about it. And if it doesn't make sense, tell me, because I thought it made sense when I wrote it down. The people demanded that their leaders give them something from God. What are we demanding today? obviously, I know you guys are demanding the Word of God. You're demanding Scripture. You're demanding a solid kids program and youth program. And you're demanding tacos in the courtyard. I get that. I know, because that's what we're providing. Man, sometimes I don't know what people outside the church are demanding. What are they asking of people? And I thought, you know, what kind of entertainment are people asking for today? And I'm telling you what, man, I don't know if I'm just becoming a crotchety old man, but the stuff that passes as entertainment anymore amazes me. I pulled up the top of the songs, you know, the top 10 songs of this week. There was one song that I looked at the lyrics on. I couldn't read three lines in a row out to you right now, because every other line had something vulgar, profane, and just socially, what I would call socially unacceptable in it. Or the movies, man. Maybe it's just because it's Halloween. Like, you know what? Could I get a movie without ketchup? You know what I'm saying? I mean, somebody's going to get killed. Somebody's going to leave their wife. Somebody's going to beat somebody else up. There's going to be, like, you know, at least 9 of the 10 commandments violated. You hear what I'm saying? So again, I'm not trying to say, man, we need to go live up on a hill and just eat tofu and tree bark and wait for Jesus to come. But what are we asking for? And here's how you ask. Let me tell you how you ask. Here's how you ask the rapper to sing you a song. You spend 99 cents on his single. You're like, it's only a dollar. Yeah, okay. Here's how you ask for more filth in the movie theater. You go watch that filth and you pay the money for it. I mean, again, I'm just saying, this is how you ask people for stuff. And you tweet about it, and you're like, here's what I do. You know what? We could do the same thing for righteousness. We could ask for, would somebody, what's that scripture that says, you hear what I'm saying? Like, get up on Facebook instead of talking about who you're going to vote for and why you're right and everybody else is wrong, that's voting for the other person. You know, shoot me now, because here's the deal. I will be glad when the election's over, right? Because then we could just go back and talk about Jay-Z and Beyonce again. You know what I'm saying? Like, get me. I'm totally kidding. But I am kind of ready for this thing to be done, right? Dear Jesus, we want to vote for Christian values, and that's all I'm going to say. I'm done being political, okay? Can we do that? Because government ain't the answer to my prayers. I pray for my administration. I pray for my civic authorities because the Bible says so. But you know what I do? I pray for them. I pray for them. But I trust Jesus. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I trust Jesus. So you know what? 1 week from today, it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be good. I don't care who or what. It's all going to be good, okay? Because guess what? Jesus didn't get elected. Jesus is not going away. He's not in trouble. He's not angry, right? He's not a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. He is Lord of Lords, and he's King of Kings. Amen. All right. No more political stuff. So the people listened with understanding. If I said, listen, you can catch people's attention by doing that, right? You ever watch the news shows? They'll be like, listen. Or the most popular one recently is like when people want to take a breath, they go, look, and then they take a breath. You ever notice that? Listen up. I got your attention. What are you listening to? Hopefully I will say something next that makes sense. But if we are all quiet, there's no guarantees on that. If we were all quiet, though, and we really listened, you're listening. What do you hear? Nothing. I hear somebody laughing. I hear the industrial air conditioning. Now you guys cough, right? You want me to say, like, okay, and I hear these guys coughing. Okay, you got you. No, I'm just kidding. It's that awkward moment. Don't cough now. Don't cough now. Don't cough now. Maybe you hear a baby crying. Maybe you hear a kid coloring next to you. It's one thing to listen, but I think it takes some proactivity to hear. See, you can listen to the sermon right now, and you can go home tonight and go, man, that tall, bald guy was on it tonight. He just made me laugh. And I think I listened to him, and he said some jokes, and he talked a little bit about politics, but he said he wasn't. But what did you hear? Did you hear that God wants to give you joy? Did you hear that God wants you to listen and hear his voice? Did you hear that God wants you to lead your family in the ways of righteousness? Yeah. I love to encourage people to journal and to take notes and all that. And then invariably somebody will come up and say, hey man, so you know, you always say take notes, whatever, you know, you want to take notes. What's the best way to take notes? And here's my easy answer. Whatever works for you. If you want to, you know, draw pictures of what I'm talking about tonight, you want to draw the wall and draw a little stick figure in Nehemiah and then Ezra up there, you know, in a priest costume, go for it. If you remember and it helps you listen and understand the message, go for it. If you want to just write stuff, write bullets, write a word, write whatever, go for it, right? Go do it. If you want to write a haiku, go for it, okay? If it helps you remember and listen and understand, go for it. Romans 10:17 says this, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I know this is one of those verses in the very fabric DNA of Valley Bible. We all know the word for word here is what? Rhema, right? You guys have heard it once, you've heard it 100 times. Rhema is an extension of the word logos, but it means so much more. The layers that have been added on to this word that means word have made it personal. And it's not just a word. Here's a word for you. I like you, okay? That's a word. I like you, dude. Just there it is. But a word from the Lord is going to be like, God has got such a plan for your life, sweetheart. You keep being the most positive girl in the universe. You keep posting pictures of your spiritual heroes. You keep smiling. You keep encouraging. You keep posting verses. And God's going to keep using you, all right? I hope that was a rhema word, all right? Nakia, you are awesome, baby. So there's a difference between a word, hey, what's up, and a powerful word from God. Here's the thing about God is he talks, and I know many of you guys hear God's voice regularly, but when God talks, it usually is quicker than this, right? Isn't it quicker than that? But you could spend like hours going, what does that really mean? And you write, and you think, and you pray. Do you guys hear me? That's a rhema word, and that is what God wants to give you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. My kids don't check me on this a lot of times, but I pray that the ears of their heart would be opened up. And I know that's weird, right? For us, we get it, right? But like, I'm just waiting for some time for my 8-year-old to go, Dad, you know, I mean, you know, we're in biology right now, and, you know, there's the heart, and it's like shaped like this. But the ears on the outside of your face, right? But it's okay, because I really do believe that our heart has ears. Maybe they're not, you know, physical ears. I really don't think so, because we've seen pictures of hearts. But you know what? Your heart can take in things. Your heart can hear the word of God. Your heart can express emotion. Your heart can love and care for somebody. Your heart is the seat of your emotion. Your heart is an intricate place. And when your physical ears hear, they open up the ears of your heart to the rhema word of God. Two things we in play in this chapter here. We have Nehemiah, who is the civic leader, and we have Ezra, who is the spiritual leader. I want to talk to you about something, and I just want to put this in. I'm not going to dwell on it a long time, but Christians need to be more influential in our world, okay? We just do. The only way to change culture is to make more of it, all right? You're not going to change culture by pulling things back. We need good old traditional values to come back. Pull out. Don't start doing this new stuff. No. In case you haven't noticed, we are on a one-way speeding highway to change, all right? Change is cool. Change is on us. Change is inevitable. Change ain't going to come back and change toward us. Every kind of change. Have you guys noticed? It seems like any kind of change is good, but that's not always the case, all right? Not all change is good. There's a lot of change. Man, the church needs to change. I need to change. My heart needs to change. I need to grow. I need to be a better lover, a better father, a better Christian. You hear what I'm saying? So I need to change. But not change for the sake of change is good. There are 7 pillars of influence in our culture, okay? And here they are: government, family, business, media, education, religion, arts and entertainment. Leave that up just for a second. So if you guys are taking notes, you want to get that. We need to look, and the reason I point this out is because in this passage, we have the civic pillar at play here, right? Nehemiah is the civic leader, you know, the governor. And then Ezra, who is the priest or the scribe. So we have government represented, and we have religion represented. If you think about this, these seven pillars of influence drive our culture, okay? They drive our culture. If you think about it, who are they interviewing on the radio? Who are they interviewing on the TV? Who are the experts? Probably somebody from one of these seven things. And by the way, even religion is not always representative of what God wants. You know, we can be countercultural and talk about how, you know, if you go see a movie, I'm telling you, back in the 50s, is anybody a believer back in the 50s? I heard stories from saints in the faith. The churches used to preach that if the rapture were to take place when you were in a movie theater, you would not make it in the rapture. That was just what? I mean, like, if you were on the dance floor and Jesus came back, you ain't going, Jack. You just enjoy that dance because you ain't going to heaven, right? This is what, right? Because the church, at some parts of the church, used to be so countercultural and so against culture that, you know, we have, today we're embracing of it, almost too much, right? So we can go, it's PG-13, kids, go ahead. I'm not going to read a review on it, just go ahead, blah. But if we look at it, man, the enemy tries to impact every one of these pillars. And Christians, we need to look at every one of these pillars. In fact, I'm going to call the prayer warriors, man. See if this just doesn't make sense to you and pray. Pray for each one of these pillars. Pray that God would send godly people to government, right? Elected officials need to serve God, all right? They don't have to, right? They don't have to. That's not a requirement. You can actually vote for somebody that is not a Christian. You can. It's all right? Because sometimes you just don't have a choice, right? Presidential election included. You hear what I'm saying? Again, no more political stuff. family, you have control over the family. Out of all these seven pillars, that is the one that you have the most control over. Businesses. Man, people, like, their God is business, right? And Wall Street and stocks and whatever. Do we need more Christians in there, man? Is corporate capitalism, is it just so selfish and so ungodly? I don't know. Is it? We need more Christians there. Media, arguably really dark, right? Listen to a CD. Go watch a movie. It's arguably dark. We need more Christians to take their light and shine their light into some of these dark places. Education, right? The college professors that give interviews on TV, you see them all the time. Are they godly? Are they not godly? You know, scientists, people that, you know, archaeologists that tell us, you know, like supposedly that the earth is, you know, 500 million years ago and, you know, we evolved by chance. You know what I'm saying? We need Christians to infiltrate these pillars of our city's influence, and then religion, and then arts and entertainment. So I just wanted to show you that because there was two pillars represented here, and I just wanted to make a point of it, all right? So let's look to verses 4 and 6. Ezra 4 through 6. Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium, which they had made for the purposes. And this is an exact copy of, it's not even, I have no idea, I just said that. This is a black table, not a podium above the people that Ezra had. Made for this purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah on his right hand, and all these other guys on his left hand. I'm just doing the Cliff Note version here. Verse 5. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while they were lifting their hands. Then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. A couple things I want to point out, and I think there's a lot of symbolism here. Can we talk about some symbolism in this passage? There is the podium, right? And the word of God was placed on the podium. Today, I'm not so sure we use the podium correctly. Anybody from a Catholic background or liturgical background, Lutheran, Presbyterian, something? There are some high liturgical religions that do not have the preacher's podium in the center of the stage like we do, right? A lot of times you'll see the pastor's place over here. And what's front and center? The table of the Lord, right? Jesus is front and center. The communion cup, the communion bread is straight front and center, and the pastor's secondary. theologically and symbolically, I kind of dig that, right? Because I don't see communion. You know, we do communion once a month, but I don't see it on the stage. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not condemning us. I'm just kind of throwing some stuff out for you guys to think about. Because when we put the TV in the middle and the pastor with his notes in the middle, it could glorify man a little bit more than it does glorify God. Here is the case that we have a man reading scripture front and center on a podium that's lifted up above the people. Not the person lifted up, but the podium containing the word of God. On his right hand were all the mucky mucks, all the cool cats, right? The leaders of the city on his right hand. And on his left hand, there were a few more, right? Five and five, I believe. So there's 10 people up there to give him cred. They gave Ezra his street cred. Because these were the heads of clans. It would be like next time Pastor Ron got up and he has the city official and the governor. Yeah, right. And I'm getting political. I'm not trying to, okay? I love Jerry Brown. So, and we have all these people on this side. And we have chief of police and we have, you know, you name all the dignitaries and newscasters and sportscasters. And he's up here. And so Pastor Ron is reading. He's got, you know, influence here, influence there. Doesn't that make everybody that's watching go, whoa, they got some swag up there, right? This guy knows what he's doing. He's in the lead here. He's got the support of everybody. You hear what I'm saying? So this is a pretty significant event. Lifted up, and he opened up the scripture. What happened when Ezra opened up the scripture? The people, out of respect, rose to their feet. Man, we're so casual today. And again, I don't care. I don't care. I mean, there's formal for formal sake. Have you guys ever been to a service, like a Jewish service, like a Shabbat service, where they have the Torah, and they come and they dance around with the Torah, and they come down the aisle, and everybody wants to, like, kiss the Torah? Have you guys been there? It's an experience. If you've never been to a Shabbat service, it's pretty incredible. And there's such an awe and a respect of the scripture when it comes down. Man, and they can't touch it, and they have to have gloves, and they use a special pointer. It's like, you know, I just put it in my phone and put it in my back pocket. I'm not saying one is right and one is wrong, all right? It's like, do you believe in God the Father, the guy with the gray beard that's going to just jack you if you jump out of line, or Jesus is my homeboy? You know what I'm saying? There's like, we have all extremes, and I'm not saying one is better than the other or whatever. I'm just pointing out here that when the Word of God, the law of Moses was opened up. The people stood up out of reverence and out of respect. For what it's worth, I'm not getting on you. I'm just telling you what it is, because you know what? I like to slouch to the, with the best of them, right? I'm fine. After a hard day at work, it feels good to sit in a chair and have a funny bald man talk to you about the Word of God. I'm just saying, okay? And that's all right, right? Because you're taking notes and you're processing and you're going to get up early tomorrow and pray about it. And you're going to leave here with extra joy. We haven't even gotten to the whole joy part, but we're getting there, right? Ezra blessed the Lord and the people responded. A couple quick things. The people responded with a response, amen, amen. They blessed the Lord in agreement. There's a couple other positions that I want to look at here. Verse 6, Ezra blessed the Lord God, and all the people answered, amen, amen. And they were lifting up their hands, then they bowed low and worshipped, and their faces were on the ground. I think there's some symbolic information going on here. When you raise your hands, you ever, I used to be at this one church, and they weren't exactly spirit-filled and freed up, you know, like we are here at Valley Bible. And they thought that to be a little bit more aggressive in their worship was to raise their hands, right? And so here's normal worship. What's going on? How you doing? Oh, there's a song. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Looking around, checking things out. All right, and so they go, well, man, I got to take my worship into next gear. I got to kick it up a notch. Hey, now, yeah, there you go. Worship song, I know the words. What are we going to have for lunch today? All right, yeah, there we go. So it's like nothing changed. You just got your hands up in the air, right? It's like, okay. It has to be a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more proactive. But when you put your hands up in the air, it can mean a couple different things, right? When you put them up, somebody, if I'm coming up to you right now, hands up, what are you doing? How do you put your hands up? You go like this. You probably do the first thing that comes to mind, be like, yeah, I don't know. That's what I would do, okay? It's just kind of a natural. My natural would probably be like this, right? and crying and other bodily functions happening, right? And it means surrender. It's a sign of surrender. Your hands up usually mean a sign of surrender, right? Gentlemen, when your wife asks you to take out the trash and it's been a couple days, baby, are you ever going to take out the trash? Yes, ma'am. I'm on it, right? Lou's got it, right? On it. All right. Surrender. You know, I've heard some people say when you have your hands a little lower like this, kind of cupped out, like, God, I need something. I surrender to you, Lord. I need something. You know, you guys have little kids. When the little kids, when you come home from work or you haven't seen them in a while, and little kids come up. Right. When you fall on your face on the ground. I already said it was like sucking carpet, man. It's getting intense, man. You got calluses on your knees from just, you know, seeking things out with God. I used to go to this 168-hour prayer room, and there was a chair and a table and a bunch of prayer requests, and in the chair was this brown spot right in the back of the chair. You know, like, you got this part of the chair and then the seat, and right in the back of the part where you put your back was a big brown spot. You know, and I finally figured out what it was. People would come into the chair, and they would kneel down, and they would put their face right in that same place. I would, like, stand in that prayer room a lot and pray. I'm pretty sure this is not the real thing. I think this is like blown up. But there was a guy that used to pray so much. And I forget what era he's from. His name was Praying Hyde, H-Y-D-E. It was said about Praying Hyde that his knees were like camel's knees because they were so calloused because he spent so much time on the ground praying and interceding before God. Rumor has it, and I'm not sure if I'm buying this, they said he would actually phase in and out of being. He would like kind of like become translucent and like phase in and out because he was so holy because he prayed so much. I don't know if I'm buying that. Like, I'm taking the camel knee thing. That works. But like the whole Star Trek thing, I don't know. But you know what I dig about that is that this was a godly man. I mean, what are they going to say about me? Yeah, dad would be up. I heard him like praying and stuff while he was cooking breakfast. Right? I mean, wouldn't that be cool if they said that about you? Oh, I know that boy, man. His feet, he had flat feet. He had fallen arches because he'd walk around and pray all the time. That's good. Or, you know, he'd wake me up every morning at 5 a.m. because he was singing. And he couldn't sing. He couldn't hold the tune if he had to. But he was up 5:30 every morning singing to the top of his lungs to Jesus Christ. Man, that'd be good. You see, that's what I like about it. I'm not sure about this phasing in and out of consciousness or whatever. But I do know that godly men have a little bit more said about them than ungodly men, if you hear what I'm saying. You guys that have kids, model righteousness for your kids. Let your posture when you're in church, I don't care if you raise your hands or not, but let them see you worshiping. I don't care if you kneel or you sit or you walk when you pray. I gotta be honest, when I get up early and pray sometimes, I'm doing a lot of walking, right, just to stay awake. Model that stuff for your kids. Model that stuff so your kids get up and they know. I mean, it's just not a natural thing for kids, especially when they become teenagers or whatever, that they don't want to get up early. I mean, they want to sleep in until the last minute, you know, and get up, throw the clothes on, and run out the door. But they know you're up praying, and they know you're up seeking God, and they know that their name is in your prayers. That's good stuff. Amen. Verses 7 and 8, also Jeshua, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, man, all these guys here, Pela, the Levites, explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. They read from the book of the law of God, translating it to give the sense so that they understood this reading. This day is holy. So here's the deal. We need each other. We need the pastors. And I'm not saying that just because I'm a pastor. But you know what? Sometimes when we read the Bible, we have to have others help us out. We have to have others that read foreign languages, right? That read a little Greek, a little Hebrew. Hebrew drives me crazy. Greek, I can hold my own. But Hebrew, ugh, right? Ugh, I should say. Ugh. Okay. A little joke for you guys that have ever heard anybody talk Hebrew. We need the pastor to be the pastor. We need Pastor Ron parsing scripture verse by verse, going through the Hebrew, going through the Greek, like seeking God on our behalf. But you know what? We need each other too, because we need to be able to call somebody in the morning and go, hey man, Pastor Ron said this, and you know, what do you think it meant? Well, I'll tell you what, meet me at Starbucks and we'll talk about it for the next 30 minutes. Man, that's what you need, some friends like that. You know, I mean, it's okay if you got fantasy football friends, all right? I get it, that's cool. And it's okay if you want to get together and make your kids' lunches for the next week. I get it, okay? There's nothing wrong with that at all. We need those times. Please have those times too. But also, even more so importantly, have that brother in your life that go, man, hey, brother, I look up to you, man. Can we talk about John 3? Because I'm not getting it. What does it mean when Nicodemus says, I got to come, you know, I got to do this. I got to say, how can I be born again? Ladies, you need those godly girlfriends in your life that you can just go, pray for me, girl, and then you hang up. That's all right. Guys would be like, well, dude, you're freaking me out. But ladies be like, okay, sweetie, I'll just call you later. All right. You know, we, right? Okay, I got you. So we need the preachers. We need friends. We need to have people that we model for. We already talked about that, right? Our kids, but we also need to model for those around us, right? Those in our job, right? Those in our neighborhood, those in our book club, those in our soccer league. We need to model for them as well. Verses 9 through 12. And by the way, I hope you're not offended when I just kind of raise over the people's names, because I could either do that or I could like really mispronounce them horribly and you guys will lose a lot of respect for me. Either way, I'm not making fun of them. I'm not making fun of the Word of God. Are we okay with that? Okay, thank you, because, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to waste your time here, right? I know you guys, every person's important and that's why their names are in the scriptures, but sometimes. Verse 9, then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this is the holy day to the Lord, your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, now the words of the law are what they read from morning till midday, all right? They've been reading, and the people like were just weeping. Again, God is in the place. God stirred up the people. The people listened, and the people responded. And their first response was, oh my gosh, we have sinned before God. We have laid aside scripture. We have sinned. We have taken foreign mates and foreign wives, and we are in error. We are directly opposed to what scripture says. And they began weeping. But because this was not a time to weep, then he said to them, go eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord our God. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your... Ah! Don't be sad. Don't be upset. It doesn't matter if your guy or girl wins or loses next Tuesday. Don't be sad. Don't be bummed because somebody at work parked too close to you or took your parking space. Don't be all down in the mouth because somebody looked at you crosswise. Don't be all upset because you didn't get your way. Don't be upset because you didn't win the pool in the office. Don't get all down because things aren't going your way. Do not mourn. You need to go home because the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what's going to set you apart. Somebody just needs to reach up and grab that joy. And by the way, here's the formula for joy. You ready for this? Joy. J-O-Y. You ready? You guys probably heard this. Jesus, others, yourself. That's how you have joy. If you are lacking joy in your life, grab some, because the Holy Spirit wants to pour out joy today before you leave. It's your free parting gift. But also know that if you need to dredge up and earn some joy, here's how you do it. You put Jesus first, you put others second, and you put yourself last. That's your joy. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. All the people went away to eat, to drink, to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which had been made known to them. The word of the Lord. God's word never returns void. God's word accomplishes all that it is supposed to accomplish. When you read the word, you can hear it. You can listen. You can understand, or you can blow it off. Now, I'm telling you, I struggle sometimes when I'm reading something. I'm like, oh, here's the passage, and here's what happens in this passage. And my mind just kind of wants to go off to the next, right? Just kind of go down, right, Doc? You just kind of go, oh, I got that, I got that, I got. And I have to stop myself and go, what? This is the word of God. Something may shimmer in my mind, in my soul, like it never has before. And so I cause myself to slow down. I go, hey, Jones, man, just read this like you've never read it before. Right? Because I want to listen. I want to understand. And sometimes when I'm reading the scripture, God will put in my heart, he'll put a word, and the word will come alive and start glowing, and I'll go, I need to do a little word search on that word, right? And you go to the internet, you go Google, and where's this word? And then you look up all the verses on that. Ooh, it gets real good. Next thing you know what? You've been an hour in the word, and you're like, and I didn't have enough time, man. The word of God will not return void. It always accomplishes that, what it's supposed to accomplish. When you pray a word over somebody, when somebody prays a word over you, in just a second, our prayer real people are going to come down. Our altar team is going to come right down in front. If you need a word from God, these people have been trained to hear from God on your behalf. This isn't a counseling session, man. This is a time where we will meet with God. And you get to have somebody pray for you and help you. And if you didn't get enough of that joy earlier, come on down, because we got some more joy for you here. All right? And if you need just a word, just tell them, like, I don't know why I'm up here, but just pray for me. We're totally okay with that, right? We dig that. In fact, that's been some of my best prayer times down here, when people just come up. And I remember not about 2 weeks ago, I was praying with somebody. She just came up, man, she had tears in her eyes. And she was trying to talk, and she's like, and I go, stop. Put my hand on her shoulder. I said, here's what's going on. Here's your situation. Here's what God is saying to you. And here's what you need to do. And she goes, and she just bawled. That's a God thing. I'm telling you. And that happens a lot right here. Amen, amen, amen. All right. So I will just do this. I will say, if you would bow your head and close your eyes, I'm going to pray a special prayer with you. And our prayer team is going to come up here and fill the altars. And you know, I'm telling you, they are an awesome crew. Awesome crew. Before we pray, there's some of you out there that you're going, man, I want to be a man of God like these guys up here. I want to be a woman of God and be able to speak to people and have God use me like that. If that's you, you know what? I'm going to pray a prayer for you right now before we go any further. God, I believe you're calling people. There's a spiritual hunger and a desire that's going on right now. And you have lifted up your servants. And you have caused people to look at our spiritual leaders. And you've caused a godly desire to be placed in their hearts. Lord, grow that desire. Grow that seed. And if that's you and you want to take it to the next step, man, call the church office and just say, hey, I need to get involved. I want to be a prayer counselor. Or maybe, you know what, God's telling you to get involved in teaching children's. Maybe part of the children's ministry, extreme. Or maybe an usher, a greeter. You know, we check you out, make sure you're good, but we want to partner with you. We want to serve. And if you had something tonight that maybe not even ever been there before, maybe it has and it's just stronger tonight. But if that's you, man, act on it, would you? Act on it. Maybe come pray with us up here and we can pray that on you, and then you call the office later or talk to one of our pastor staff. We want to help you in your walk with Christ and help grow the kingdom. So now we're going to pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we heard a rhema word from you here tonight, God, and we thank you so much. Lord, thank you that you are so faithful to always visit us. God, it's crazy. We just show up and there you are feeding us every time, God. Thank you for filling up our souls. Thank you, God, that we started the evening off saying, Jesus, give me joy. I need it. I need to smile. I need to be happy. I need to go home and hug my kids. I need to go to the office tomorrow in the strength of Jesus and the joy of the Lord. And we will not leave here without that joy. In fact, we know that you've already given it to us, and you're going to keep giving it to us. But now, if there's any other prayer needs that we need to take care of tonight, I pray that you would be able to join some of our prayer counselors. Actually, you know what? Would you do this? Before we say amen, would everybody stand to your feet? Can I have everybody just stand wherever you're at right now? And I'm going to give you a chance. I don't know, man. There may be somebody here that has never prayed a prayer like this. Dear God, forgive me of my sins. I want to start a crazy journey with you, Jesus. If you've never prayed that prayer or something similar, we would love to lead you in a journey with Christ tonight. Father God, go with us as we go. Let us hug our wives and our husbands stronger tonight in the joy of the Lord. Let us stroke our kids' hair tonight with the joy of the Lord. Let us remember our neighbors and our coworkers in prayer tonight in the joy of the Lord. And before you go, if there's anybody that wants to come get prayed for down front, you can do it now. You can do it when we dismiss. But just don't leave until we get a chance to pray with you. Everybody who loves Jesus tonight and is glad you're in the house of the Lord can say amen. 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 Come down. Let us pray for you. Otherwise, we'll see you Sunday. Bring a friend, somebody that needs to hear a rhema word from God.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King, give us our love.